Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Thursday, May 5th, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Well, we had a little more pressure on gold today. Let me go ahead and bring up those numbers here. Wasn't a bad day. We have gold down $1.60 for gold at $12.78. Silver's down 0.02 at $17.43. Platinum was up 7 at $1,068. And palladium was holding at $6.03. The USDX today was up 0.50 at $93.76. Crude oil was up 0.53 at $44.31. Paper markets today, really no change, basically unchanged. A few points up, down. The Dow, 17,660. NASDAQ, 4,717. And the S&P, 2,050. You know, the Dow was up a whole 10 points. That was, so not a lot of change in the paper markets today. 10-year yield, 0.04 down, 1.75%, 1.75%. The euro finally got caught up to the dollar's upward movement here the past couple of days, 1.14 down, 0.74. Wow. Fitbit got hit today. One of the most popular stocks trading today. It was down almost 19% on the day. Interesting. Guess not too many people are into wearing a little wristband to tell you how many steps you walk.
I had one
on
of those
daily
for a
basis.
While. I just got tired of it. It seemed like a cool idea for a while and blah, blah, blah. But in the end, it became just, I felt like I just kind of succumbed to something that I didn't really need.
Well, if you're not doing what they tell you, you're supposed to do, 10,000 steps a day. So, if you're doing 3, it gets a little discouraging to follow for something that tells you that you're not doing what you're supposed to do. It's kind of a little bit of a negative reinforcement.
That's probably true. You mean I actually have to work to do all those steps?
I guess
that's the way it was.
I don't know. But, some people love them, but their stocks got hit almost 19%. So,
this week so far has been down for gold, but it's only down $14.
Mm-hmm.
Right, as compared to last Friday. And last week it was up $60, or nearly so, $59, I think, $60. Ballpark figure, $60 up last week, down $14 so far this week. The reason that's significant to me is that I would have expected the powers that be to come back and slap gold down hard after going up almost $60 last week. I expected Monday, Tuesday, I expected them to just hammer it down. Didn't happen. Here we are into Thursday, and it's down $1.80. No big deal. It suggests, it certainly doesn't prove, but it suggests that maybe the powers that be have lost the will or the capacity to continue to manipulate the price of gold. Too early to say that for sure, but just the same, it's a strange, you know, the evidence to me is a little bit strange. It's a little surprising. And we'll watch and see. But I think maybe, and if that's the truth, if the powers that be are no longer able or willing to suppress the prices of gold and silver, then, you know, we can expect them to rise to free market levels, which should be much higher than what we're seeing right now.
Melody. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. I saw an interesting video. I didn't have a chance to watch the whole thing. It was Jimmy Rogers, was the interviewee. And he just finished a new book. And Jimmy Rogers, most everybody that's in commodities knows Jimmy Rogers. He's always pro gold and everything. And, you know, again, you know, he's partners with Soros, so I don't give a lot of.
Well, he
you know,
was. They started together, but I don't know if they still are. He went his separate.
The point of the matter is they got their wealth together, and, you know, they're both insiders. They're both insiders, and, you know, so I you know. Knowing the background of a person means a lot to me when, you know, I listen and he talks. But it was an interesting interview. To the point is he pretty much was saying the same thing that we talk about on this program on a daily basis. You know, he was talking about, you know, our government having $200+ trillion in debt when you're looking at off budget items and unfunded liabilities. He says we're over, you know, $200 trillion when you're looking at the world. He says that it's just full of debt. He says this is one crisis that is coming. And, you know, he called it the American reckoning. And it is. He says this is not something that we're going to escape. And he really didn't bring any new information, but, you know, it's, again, confirmation that there's other people out there that understand the amount of debt. And, you know, he talked about how, you know, coming out of the recession of 2008, even prior to that, that I've been talking about, the credit that, you know, all the recessions that we supposedly have come out of was all done by debt, was all done by creating more and more debt. It's a huge credit bubble that is about to pop. And he says there's absolutely no way that we'd be able to come out of another crisis. He says if we do manage and we're lucky to come out of the next crisis, he says it'll be the next one that we won't. He says that's how close that we are. Of this whole world situation. He says, we're just not talking about the U.S. He says, look at Europe. And he, you know, he talked about, you know, the countries that are producing, the countries that are, you know, and, you know, he's, you know, he lives in Shanghai, you know, and he was talking about the Asian countries. But, you know, he did mention some things, you know, that he was saying some of these countries were doing well. But, you know, again, I question just how well they are doing. However, they are producing more than what we are. So, and he says those are the ones that will, you know, be able to control the situation when the world debt begins to implode. So, you know, again, it was just reinforcement of what we talk about. It was just listening to someone else pretty much say the same thing, which what I think is what is important. It is our debt. And, this is what is going to come crumbling down. This is what's going to, this is what it's all about. This
well, we have a debt-based monetary system, which is crazy. We have fiat currency, which is crazy. We have a debt that's too great to ever be repaid in full. All right? At least they admit to having $19 trillion in debt. John Williams says it's closer to $100 trillion. Congressional Budget Office and economist Lawrence Kotelmeyer have said it's over $200 trillion, including unfunded liabilities. Divide the debt by the population. And if Kotlikoff and the Congressional Budget Office are correct, that we have over $200 trillion in debt divided by the population, 320 million. And you just come down with an average debt in the neighborhood of something like $700,000 for every man, woman, and child in the country. You don't need a PhD to look at that and say, that can't be paid. That's not going to be paid. Huh? And it's a terrible, dangerous situation. People say, well, we're not going to pay the debt. Big deal. No, it's a terrible deal. Because the debt, one man's debt, is another man's asset. If we can't pay the debt, we don't just wipe out the asset. Or we don't just wipe out the debt. We also destroy the correlative asset. You go in and you borrow $100,000 from the bank. You sign your name on a note. They treat that note as an asset. You owe $100,000. They have a piece of paper that they're treating as a $100,000 paper asset. And if it turns out that you can't pay the $100,000 for whatever reason, that $100,000 asset gets wiped out. And if everybody can't pay at the same time, and that's the great danger here, then we're going to see an enormous amount of paper capital that is going to be vaporized. It's going to just disappear. It will cease to exist. When the debt disappears, so does the correlative paper capital. When that capital disappears, where do we get the money to build the next shopping center, the next factory, the next house, buy another flat screen TV? Where's that money coming from? All right, if it's going to be loaned, it's not coming out of the paper wealth that we claim to have right now, and that will disappear with the debt, and there is the great danger. Those people who still have capital after the debt fails and the correlative assets are wiped out, those people who still have capital are going to find their capital in great demand. And you'll be able to lend if you have capital. You'll be able to lend if you care to lend at percentages, return on investment, that are pretty spectacular compared to what's happening right now. And what are we going to have for capital in the event that the paper debt instruments get wiped out and the paper assets get wiped out? In large, to some significant degree, the capital will be things like gold and silver. Those who have it are going to be in a position, if they care to lend, they'll be able to lend under very favorable terms.
You know,
on the other hand, if they don't care to lend, they'll be able to buy on very favorable terms. You may not want to lend your money, but you might want to buy a different house, different car, a bunch of other things.
And, you know, watching this interview, you know, it was such a simple. And, you know, he says, I'm not making these numbers up. We don't make them up either. He says, you can get these are all government numbers.
Yeah.
And he says, it's not something that's exaggerated. It's not something that's, you know, just being created. We're not making it up. It's there. It's fact. He says, if there's, you know, these are government numbers, if anything, he says, they're low. Because, you know, the government doesn't report the accurate numbers.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it does make the situation far more severe than what people truly understand. And I don't think people get it. You know, we say this all the time on this program. And sometimes I get tired of saying it, but it needs to be repeated. And the importance, the urgency, because we don't know when this is going to crack. No one knows when it's going to crack.
But and everybody who's looking at it seems to think the time is growing close.
It is closer.
All right. And I don't think it's just closer in the sense, oh, it's only 3 years away.
No.
I think it's in terms of there are a lot of people who are, you know, experts at this, who have spent their life studying this, and they seem to think, you know, if we were going to say we could see a serious step downward before the end of this year. Not too many of them would sit back and say, well, that's crazy. It can't happen that fast. I think it can. And I think they do too. And it's part of the reason people like Jim Rogers are coming out of the woodwork and they're saying, look, the stuff's going to hit the fan. He's not talking about it's going to hit the fan in the next decade. He's talking, you know, it may be in the next 6 to 12 months. And maybe even in some of them think it can, you know, I mean, some of these people are predicting that we'll see big trouble before the end of May. I think they're mistaken about that, but some serious people think that's possible. Got an article here that deals with Stan Druckenmiller. And the headline is, the Fed has no end game and the chickens are now coming home to roost. This is at Yahoo Finance. Druckenmiller is, they describe him as legendary hedge fund manager Stanley Druckenmiller. I believe he's a billionaire.
They all are.
Launched the Kane Capital in 1981. During his career, he's amassed one of the best long-term track records on Wall Street. I think he's had 31 consecutive years he was operating in the black. He made a profit 31 consecutive years. Mr. Druckenmiller says the bull market has exhausted itself after 8 years of radical monetary experiment. Speaking to a room of nearly 3,000 investors at the 21st Annual Sohn Investment Conference, Druckenmiller said policymakers have no end game for ending years of ultra-easy monetary policy, which central bankers unleashed during the financial crisis. And that's an accurate description. They have no end game. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to quit. They don't know how to dismount off the tiger. And they are caught in a situation where, somewhat like Jim Rogers was talking about, and there's another source, I can't remember who it is, and I think I've got it in the articles that we can talk about later on today. But they're saying, well, there's no end game. There's no way of getting out of this. And what the implication is, the only thing government can do right now, and the Federal Reserve, the only thing they may be able to do is kick the can a little further down the road. They might be able to buy some more time, but that's it. Nobody thinks they can get out of this situation painlessly. No one that I know about, that I've, you know, we read this stuff every day, we're going through article after article. Nobody comes out and says, oh, yeah, all we have to do is just, you know, we'll just tinker here and tinker there, and we will skate right around this problem. Nobody thinks that. The only thing anyone seems to think is that we can kick the can a little further down the road, and there's not much confidence we can even do that much longer. But we're going to have something like a depression. They talk about, oh, we might have the next recession. Next recession, bunk. We're still in the next recession from 2007, 2008.
And prior.
We're not worried about the next recession. We're worried about the next depression. That's what we need to be concerned about. And people say, well, we're going to have another recession. Oh, yeah, we can live through another recession. Won't be a problem. I think we're going to another Great Depression, and as some people said, a Greater Depression. And if that happens, blah, 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 Katie bar the door, you better be ready, folks. Better be prepared. Do what you can. You know, get what you're going to need, because you may not be able to buy it, beg it, or borrow it, or even steal it once this thing starts to go downhill. We're going to take a break for a couple of commercials. Melody and I will be back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
We're still running the special, the 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle. Excuse me, with 20 Silver Eagles, $5.95, 1 or 100. We had a lot of people pick up multiple packages. It's a great little package to add to your portfolio. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. I got a little excited during the break because I was telling Al, he says, what amazes me, here we talk about continually, and then now you can get back to Drunken Miller if you weren't finished with them. And it's like the recommendations that these people are giving to people. Hey, if you want to be in paper, that's fine, but get it insured. Have your gold and silver to back it up as insurance. Hey, if you want to speculate and be silly and take a greater risk, that's your business, but get it insured. Get it insured with gold and silver, because I guarantee you that people will turn to a monetary metal during a monetary crisis. And what do you think we have? I mean, we're talking about trillions. Numbers don't even mean anything anymore. And trillions, quadrillions of derivatives that is not even written into the equation when we talk about the amount of debt that this country has. And all the other, you know, domino effects that can happen that equate to trillions. I mean, people, it's just numbers anymore. There isn't anything that means anything anymore. The one thing that will mean something is your gold and your silver. So, folks, you know, don't delay. Give us a call. You know, just like I was telling Al during the break. And then you have these other guys that are promoted, you know, 24/7, telling people to go out and buy bonds. Are you kidding me? Bonds? Yeah, What part? I don't know, Al.
Greg Hunter just interviewed a man named Michael Pento. And I posted the interview on my blog, about a 25, 30-minute interview.
Excuse me.
Pento is a brilliant guy, all right? And he talked about bonds on that during the interview. And he just said, essentially, he just said, you got to be crazy, all right? And he really is it's a brilliant interview. They covered a lot of different subjects, but I'm just saying.
It takes common sense, Al.
Now for 5 years,
take brilliance.
Watch out for this paper.
It doesn't take brilliance, Al. It takes common sense.
Oh, I understand.
Common sense.
It takes brilliance to explain it sometimes. All right? It may not take brilliance.
It takes common sense.
It takes common sense perhaps to see it, but sometimes it takes brilliance to explain it in ways that other people can pick up on it. They understand at the same time. We're talking about Stan Druckenmiller. In the article from Yahoo Finance, and he recommends owning gold, which is interesting. A billionaire made his money in the stock and bond markets, and now he's saying get into gold. He says, I've argued that the myopic policymakers have no end game. They stumble from one short-term fiscal or monetary stimulus to the next, despite overwhelming evidence that they only produce a sugar high and grow unproductive debt that impedes long-term growth. Moreover, the continued decline of global growth, despite unprecedented stimulus in the past decade, suggests that we have borrowed so much from our future and for so long that the chickens are now coming home to roost. And he's right about that. You look back at how much money has the world, not just the United States and the Federal Reserve and the United States government. How much has the world invested in the European Central, the European Union and China? How much have they gone deeper and deeper into debt to try to stimulate this economy into doing something, and it won't do anything? It hasn't done much. And it looks like they are totally ineffective, and there's the problem. He says, the article says, Druckenmiller didn't explicitly give an investment recommendation. He did strongly hint at buying gold. He said, let me throw this one at you. My hint is that the one asset you did not want to own when I started Decane as his hedge business, his hedge fund, in 1981, it's traded for 5,000 years and for the first time has a positive carry in many parts of the globe, as bankers are now experimenting with the absurd notion of negative interest rates. Some regard it as a metal. We regard it as a currency, and it remains our largest currency allocation. So he's just saying, look, he didn't come right out and say the word gold, but he said 5,000 years. There's nothing else been around here traded as a financial instrument for 5,000 years other than gold and perhaps silver. The guy's a billionaire, and he's just coming out and saying the same thing we've been saying for years on this program. And I think the reason is because we are close to a moment when we're going to see the paper markets fall apart, and we're going to see whatever market is left standing will be gold and silver. I've got a caller, Jim, from West Virginia. Oh, Jim, what up?
Oh, I don't have too much to say today, but we concentrate on the savings investment sector, and this is good. Let me toss up some gloom to add to your doom. Like, I've checked out the bond market, commodities, insurance, everything. I need to do one on real estate, but here's the point. The real economy, what I refer to as real economy, production of goods and services, the standard of living depends on the efficiency of the real economy. Digging a hole in the ground with a stick to plant a corn seed, not so efficient. Tiller, much more efficient. Big old tractor with a cultivating attachment, much more efficient. So the standard of living goes up as a means of wealth production get better and better. There have been major steps forward in this. Fractional horsepower, electric motor, drills, saws, things like that, vacuum cleaners, refrigeration, tremendous. The sewing machine. How long does it take to sew something by hand? You take a sewing machine, zip, zop, done. So the means of wealth production. Now, the basic fundamentals of wealth production, it starts with mining, agriculture, mining. Okay, so a lot of real economists look at the commodities market for lots of clues what's going on. They also have manufacturing. To add gloom to the doom, we only have a fourth of our farmland in production. Mines, getting slaughtered right and left. I don't mess with the numbers anymore, I'm too lazy. But if you look at the real output of different ores, whoa. Means of wealth production being destroyed. Factories, I had hoped this whole thing would come apart in the 80s because we still had factories. But we do not have the three basic legs of the economy. Agriculture's in trouble, mining's in trouble, manufacturing in trouble. And the main reason they are in trouble have to do with our government. They can do everything they can think of to be counterproductive economically. But unless and or until we understand that the means of wealth production are what determines the economic situation. Now, to add some gloom to the doom, so much of what we have is being bought up by foreigners. I heard today that one-third of the large office buildings in our major cities, the Chinese bought them. So basically, folks, this is not going to be a good time ahead of us.
Why did they buy them, Jim?
Huh?
Why did they buy those buildings?
Because it's the only way to get rid of their dollars.
That's exactly right, which is one of the consequences of running a trade deficit. We've been going into this big deficit, and we thought we were really cool. We'll just keep on giving them pieces of paper, and they'll give us stuff that we can buy at Walmart. But they stacked up that paper. Now they'd like to get something for the paper. And we're the only place where they can dump it. So they said, all right, let's buy some buildings. But it's a consequence of running this trade deficit in the first place, which is a consequence, at least in part, of shipping our industries to foreign countries.
And who did that? Our beloved government by destroying our industries and tearing down the tariffs. Now, jacking up the tariffs, so we jack them up too fast, that'll be destructive. We got to bring them up quick. But here's the point. The means of production, you look at it, every business is a mix of brains, muscle, and money. A strong person can get a shovel and make a lot of money digging ditches for water lines. I chose the brainy thing. I did electronics because I'm not built from heavy labor. And electronics didn't require a huge investment. Somebody else might go out and buy a franchise. Big bucks. But you have to understand, folks, if we're going to get out of this, we've got to kick up the means of production.
Yeah,
we don't make enough cloth. We do not produce enough cloth. Huh?
I believe the only way we can get out of this is we need to handle our debt, and then we can fix the problems that we have. I believe the amount of debt that we have prevents us from really fixing anything.
Well, until we cancel the debt, but again, the problem there, you cancel the debt and you wipe off the correlative paper assets.
Well, yeah, there's going to be terrible times.
I mean, there's going to be trouble.
Terrible times are coming.
Yeah.
No matter what happens. But a lot of our problems can't even be worked on until our debt gets on, until that part of the program gets fixed.
Well, one of the things that people have to understand is productivity is key. And it's the sort of thing, a lot of people just sit in this country and they think they're entitled to things. I was listening to a video from some young woman. She's in the millennial generation, and she's talking about her generation and how disrespectful they are. And she was critical of her own generation. And she said, we all think we're entitled. Well, I guarantee you that whole notion of entitlement is going to disappear. The idea that I'm entitled to a free lunch is going to disappear in the near future. And people are going to learn, you want a lunch? You had better produce something. And it's going to have to be an idea that's brought to forward to people who think they are entitled. They're going to have entitled to what? If you want a share of the pie, you've got to figure out whoever is producing the pie. They've got to make more pie for you even to have an entitlement, let alone a bigger entitlement. Even the people who think they are entitled to have something for nothing, they've got to recognize that we have to foster something in the economy, in the philosophy, in the policies of government, where we pay, look, we've got to make bigger pies. Got to do that.
Well,
and this is not genius. This is not something that, this is something that is in the end so obvious. Even greedy idiots should be able to get this. And, well, yeah, I guess technically we got to get some lady in there to make a pie before I can get a piece of it. Huh?
Well,
somebody's got to make that shift.
I'll look at it this way. The debt is one aspect of it, but we have to have capital to get the wealth producing gizmos, whether it's a farm or mine or factory going. And we also have to get the government off our backs because they're economically totally counterproductive. So it'll require, but there's certain people who are going to end up never getting their debt paid. And all these people who are filthy rich paper-wise, they're going down, baby. But if you can, the only thing left is gold and silver, and get through the other side of it and then invest in something that produces wealth.
Yeah.
I thank you all again.
I agree. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate
Thanks, Jim.
Comments. You know, it is frustrating at times. Because if you do look at these things, if you look at what's happening, you don't really have to be a genius. You don't need a PhD. You can put these pieces together and you can say, you know, this is a, you know, the basics are here in a way that everybody should get this. It shouldn't be a mystery. We can, there are a lot of fine details that people with PhDs, they study this, they get, they dwell on the details and rest of that. And that's fine, and it's something that I'm not able to do. But, you know, I can see the trees for the forest. Right? There's a certain amount of sense here that you can just look at, and the details might not have all the details down correctly or even be aware of all the details, but the fundamentals, you can see this, you can communicate it, people should be able to understand it, and if they do, they should be protecting themselves, and they should be doing it right now. Right. They should have been doing it. We've talked about it for years, and people do. Some, you know, I mean, people are protecting themselves, and more so now than the, perhaps they have in the past, at least on a global basis. But just the same, time is coming. If you've got any cash and you're keeping it in paper, it's a terrible risk. You know, you may be able to get away with it. I can't tell you that you won't, for an absolute fact. Some people are going to hang on to their paper, and they'll have the right paper, and it'll be okay. But I've said for years, I think 80 to 90% of the existing paper debt instruments are going to be wiped out. They're going to be voided. Again, take a look at the size of the national debt. Divide it by the population. You'll come up with a number, you know, if the worst case scenario, we're over $200 trillion in debt, and it translates into something like $700,000 for every man, woman, and child in the country. It means a family of four, the average family of four, their fair share of the national debt is something like $2.8 million. You don't have to you don't need a slide rule to figure this out. They can't pay that. And even if they could, they won't. They're not going to just say, oh, Uncle Sam is going to say, hey, we're having a little problem here. Send me $2.8 million. Nobody's going to do that. You're going to have to catch them. They're going to have to find a way to steal the money from the people, and they don't even have it. It doesn't matter. Even if you rob everybody in the country, there's not enough money to pay the debt, which means it's not going to be paid, which means the paper assets are not going to be worth anything. And to me, it means, I guesstimate that 80 to 90% of the paper debt instruments are going to be wiped out. They're going to be turned out. They're going to be valueless. So you got a chance in 10, maybe a chance in 5, that what you have, your paper debt instruments, will still be valuable 5 years from now. Maybe. All right? But that's as good as it gets. Chance in 10 to chance in 5, in my estimation. Even if I'm wrong, there's no way that half of your paper debt instruments are going to survive and still carry significant value in the face of what's headed our way. We're going to take a commercial break again. Melody and I will be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herb's emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at the 3Ws.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi folks, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on financial survival. And really, you know, what we're talking about here, what we've been talking about all along, as long as I've been associated with the program, really is about survival. There are a lot of people, the vast majority of people really think that their paper wealth is going to stand up. And it's not going to lose significant value over the course of the next, you know, months, years, whatever. They have confidence in these pieces of paper. And those people that are confident, their little pieces of paper, are going to see them through. They're going to see their survival threatened. All right? Everybody's going to have a difficult time. But the people who've, wait a second, I'm going to do what's sensible for this. If you've got enough gold, silver, food, water, guns, ammunition, whatever, toilet paper, you will have, your survival will be least threatened, right? But it'll be stressed. And so, you know, program's appropriately named for what we're going into. It's not going to be just a little bit, oh, we're going to have another recession. No, I don't think that's what's going to happen here. You know, I think the next serious decline. Once it starts, I think in retrospect, people look back and say that was the beginning of the next depression. It may be that they already regard what's happened since 2008 as the beginning of the next depression. I mean, as when the history books are written 20 years from now, they may say, well, it all started in 2007, 2008 with what they called the Great Recession, but it was really just the first couple of steps of the Greater Depression. It's possible. But even if that doesn't pan out, the next step down, I think, is going to be, you know, watch out for that next step because it's going to be a SOB. Got an article here from Reuters.
I just want to say, you know, my partner and I, we started this back in 1995, Financial Survival, Discount Gold and Silver Trading, and my partner was in the business longer than the 1995, and that's how I really have come to know who's who sort of in this world and why sometimes I just get a little upset because I've seen people come and go. I've seen the cons come and go over the years. I've seen the crooks come and go over the years. You know, I watched, I see, I listen, I hear. And that's why sometimes I get so frustrated with some of the things that I hear. You know, sometimes you can hear some really good things, and then on the other hand, you can hear just some, it's like, are you really kidding me? And that's why I'm such a strong, I believe in the fundamentals, and nothing else truly applies, because those fundamentals are so strong, and I'm not going to change my view until those fundamentals change.
Why do you think the big salesmen on Wall Street don't really talk about fundamentals?
Well, they're do what they're told to do.
It's not just that. Here's the thing.
They're traders. You know,
that's exactly right.
They're traders.
Don't trade.
You know, no, that's not true. You can't trade on fundamentals.
What I'm getting to is if you're motivated by fundamentals, you look around, you do some thinking, and you make a genuine investment, not speculation, investment, where you are going. The fundamentals are not something that are fundamental from now until next Tuesday. That's all for speculation. Whatever's going on between now and next Tuesday, that's all for about speculation. It has nothing to do with fundamentals. Fundamentals is between now and 3 years, 5 years from now, a year from now at least, and probably several years, which means people who really get into fundamentals, they aren't buying IBM today and selling it tomorrow so they can buy General Motors and selling it the day after that so they can buy Fitbit.
Well, no.
Fundamentals don't make massive volume of trades, and that's where Wall Street makes its money, or at least a bunch of its money, is on volume. So they don't want to talk about fundamentals. They want to talk, oh my gosh, we've just had an election. Oh, it's been too hot this winter or too cold this winter or something else. What detail justifies people making some sort of a move right now and paying Wall Street a fee for making that move? It won't be a fundamental.
Wall Street never liked gold because, you're right, they don't make money off of it. Why do you think the ETFs were created? So now when their clients come to them and say, no, I really want some gold, if they can't talk them out of it, they now have a paper gold that they can sell them, you know, and they'll sell them into the ETFs. And so they created a product because they knew what was coming. Look, when the ETFs were created prior to the so-called Great Recession. So, I mean, all of this is planned. All legislation programs, you know, from Wall Street and government all come out prior to the problems that we, you know, get to deal with as people. So, I mean, they don't make money on it, and it's really that simple. That's why if you do ask them how much gold you should have in your portfolio, 5%. Even some of these people who hawk gold, who sell gold now, if you ask them how much physical gold you should have in your portfolio, they say, oh, 5 or 10%. To me, what's the point? Why even bother if that's all you're going to protect your investments with or your paper investments with 5 or 10%? What's the point? There is none. When people recommend that low amount of gold, their agenda is to sell you paper. But they're going to satisfy your little itch. They're going to satisfy your little itch for gold because you believe that's what you need to have. I can't tell you how many times over the years I've had people tell me, I wish I listened to you. I really wanted physical gold, but I got talked into paper.
Really?
And this is when you have to really take control, make the decision and understand and stick with it.
Got an article, like I said, from Janice or from Reuters. Janice's Bill Gross, helicopter money is coming in a year or so. Now, Bill Gross is a portfolio manager at Janus Capital Group Incorporated. He's a significant player. At least he's recognized as a significant player on Wall Street. And he says the next big monetary and fiscal policy move should include an airdrop of money from helicopters to stimulate the U.S. economy and avoid an extended recession. Okay? We've had fiscal policy and monetary policy where they've effectively dropped money from helicopters, and it's been going on for 6-7 years. And what good has it done? Not much. And they've not just done it here in the United States. They've done it around the world. Here, Gross is saying, oh, we need another dose of QE. I don't think we can have another dose of QE. I think the Federal Reserve, I think there's a high probability that they are no longer in a position to simply spend money out of thin air the way they did for 6-7 years. I think they've exhausted their capacity. They've at least exhausted their willingness to do so, and they want to get clear of this. But Gross continues. He says the Federal Reserve and U.S. Treasury should engage in another round of quantitative easing, printing trillions of dollars to buy government bonds and thereby boost the economy. Guy's saying buy gov. He's not saying that you should buy bonds necessarily, but he is saying that the Federal Reserve should buy bonds. All right, and the Federal Reserve has to be looking at that. Said, are you crazy? Are you out of your mind? We've already got $3.5 trillion worth of government bonds on our books, and we'll never get paid on those. Why would we want more? I doubt government bonds increase. And the bigger problem is that I don't see any way that buying government bonds increases productivity. And if I'm right about that, buying government bonds does no more to stimulate the economy than corporations that buy back their own stock. The purchases of government bonds and corporations' stocks might look good on the books, all right? But I doubt that either really helps stimulate the economy. If you want to stimulate the economy, find somebody who's making something and give him some money. Find someone who is productive, not simply handing out money in the sense that you, the government says, here, consumer, we're going to give you another bushel basket of cash. Go out and spend it someplace, and that'll stimulate the economy. No, here, producer, we're going to give you a bushel basket of cash and see if you can build a bigger and better pie. And then we can squabble about who gets how much. But we've got, if you want more, there's got to be a bigger pie. You've got to support, you've got to subsidize the producers if you're subsidizing anybody. Gross continues, he says, there is a rude end to dropping money from flying helicopters, but the alternative is an immediate visit to austerity rehab and an extended recession. And he says, I suspect politicians and central bankers will choose to fly rather than die. Yeah, that's probably correct. But still, it's not really an alternative. All right? We are going to see some sort of a correction, and we're going to live through it, and it will be something like a Great Depression. It might last for 5 years. It'll probably last for 10. It could last for more. We don't know how long this is likely to last, but it'll last unless we deal with it and face it and understand it, it's going to last a lot longer until we get to a point where we say, wait a second, here's what we can do about this depression. And it's not just make work. We're going to have to do something productive. Gross noted that the Federal Reserve, the European Central Bank, Bank of Japan, the Bank of England, have effectively bought bonds from their governments for 6 years and allowed them to spend money to support their sagging economies. When Michael Pinto was speaking on the video I mentioned earlier in the program, he was talking about Puerto Rico and they're defaulting on their bonds. Why are they defaulting on their bonds? Because Puerto Rico doesn't have a central bank. If they had a central bank, the central bank would print money and buy the bonds, and in theory, the bonds would still have some value. It would be an illusion, but that's how they get out of it. Because they don't have a central bank to buy their bonds, they're having a problem in Puerto Rico that's going to be significant. And what Penta was pointing out, the lesson of Puerto Rico is the only thing that's holding the whole bond mechanism together right now in Europe, in the United States, in China, if they're doing bonds, is they have central banks who will buy this trash. It's like salting a mine. They are creating the illusion that these government bonds are still valuable. And they're doing it with central banks. Why? Because by and large, private investors are saying that's a bunch of crapola. I don't want any of that government bond. They can't pay the debt they've got. Why should I lend them more money? And on top of which, then you've got negative interest rates in significant portions of the world. I saw a report, $9 trillion of the sovereign debt right now, meaning government bonds globally. Most of this is in Japan. But there's $9 trillion with negative interest rates. Negative interest rates merely mean that if I am sitting here and say, well, I would like to borrow your money, right? And I'm going to pay you negative interest rates, which means you are guaranteed to lose. Huh? And people with money are saying, yay, yay, I'm going to invest with the government or with one of the major banks, and I'm going to get negative interest rates where I'm guaranteed to lose from the get-go. I don't even have a chance to make money, and I'm going to do that because, you know, it's just insane if you start to think about it. And yet that's where a bunch of the world is. We are monkey see, monkey do. And the people that are just saying, well, sure, I'll lend you my money at negative interest rates. I don't have a problem with that. Those people are going down the pipe. They're stupid. Huh? And it's not that hard to sit back and say, this is crazy. This is crazy. Well, before we're going to run out of time before I can get done with this article from Bill Gross. But again, here is a man who is warning, essentially, we are on the verge of very serious problems. And he's telling us that that our stimulation process is ultimately a house of cards because nothing can continue uninterrupted forever. He says in part, the money in essence is free of expense and free of repayment as long as the process continues uninterrupted. He's saying as long as the printing presses are there and we can keep printing this paper these paper dollars, everything's going to work out and be fine. The president of Zimbabwe undoubtedly agreed with that philosophy. As long as they could continue to print more Zimbabwean dollars, they could work their way out of this thing. And all they did ultimately is they were printing quadrillion Zimbabwean dollars. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy. And the evidence is clear for anyone who cares to look around. And here's Bill Gross, a significant figure on Wall Street, and he's advising people that it's what the government's been doing. We need to do more of it, and that'll somehow save us. To me, it's just stupid. Can't be, can't be, can't be, and can't be. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back tomorrow. Hope you'll tune in at that time. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too fast. In my dream, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. Money, money, money.